Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we discuss home buying and selling with two real estate pros, Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Radonna Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District. They are here to answer your questions. So if you have a question, call now, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. Whether you're buying, whether you're selling, or just looking around, we talk real estate today with Alex and Renata. Your call's coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Say, are you buying or selling a home or residential property? If so, you are in luck. We have two real estate professionals in the studio to answer your questions today. Alexander Monticello, we call him Alex, of Monticello Real Estate is here. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. If you have a question about real estate, 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Alex Monticello, Renata Lewis, welcome back.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving.
And thanks to you. Us. That's great. How's business?
Business is awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's been a good year. I mean, I think 2019 was a lot like 2018, and 2018 was a good year.
And the interest rates are remaining low. And how is inventory in the market?
I think inventory is, it really depends on which market we're discussing.
All right, well, pick one.
There's pocket, well, say Bethlehem, that's where I specialize. Inventory is pretty low.
Really?
Yes.
That's good for prices.
It's good for prices.
But not if you're buying.
Not if you're buying. So still buying in that area is a little bit more challenging. You have to really stay on top of the market, make sure that you're pre-qualified, you're a very solid buyer, because you are competing mostly in 2 to 3 offers situation.
Yep. Yeah, I think the latest numbers I saw was that the inventory in the third quarter of this year was down about 8% compared to the same time last year.
And how do you gauge this again? What is the benchmark that you use?
So 6 months of inventory is a balanced market. Anything that's below 6 months inventory in a specific market is a seller's market. Anything over 6 months is a buyer's market.
And we're in a seller's market right now?
Most of the markets, I would say, are seller's market.
Yeah. I mean, market-wide for the Capital Region, I think they have a 5.9 months supply of inventory, which they consider to be more balanced. But I think that's only because there's less buyers in the market right now between, you know, Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Yeah. I know you have both explained this to me ad nauseum, but remember, I'm a little dim. Explain to me how you come to the number of 5.9 months and what that actually means.
Do you want me to
go for it?
All right. So if you take the total number of homes for sale right now, which I think is around 6,000,
yeah,
and you take the rate at which they're selling right now, it will take 5.9 months to exhaust the current inventory.
So we're talking about absorption rates.
Right.
How quickly are these, how many is on the market, how quickly are they moving, and that's how we gauge the days on the market, list price to sales price ratios.
And that's a seller's market? It seems like a lot, 5.9 months, and that's still a seller's market.
Correct. Well, that's more of a balanced market.
Yeah.
But again, I think there's definite pocket areas where I would say North Colony School District right now is still a very strong seller's market. Bethlehem is still a strong seller's market. Niskayuna, not so much anymore. I feel like that's creeping up into that balanced market. So it really depends on, we watch the inventory very closely wherever we're working.
Does it generally track with the tax rates? I know Niskayuna was just in the news for being one of the upstate regions that has higher property taxes.
No, I think actually buyers are looking beyond just taxes. And I mean, we've seen in the city of Albany, which, you know, has a high tax rate.
Yeah.
We've seen a real interest in buyers, not just millennial and first-time home buyers, but people looking to downsize who want more services. They want sidewalks. They want smaller lots. They don't want to drive as much. So I think
this is very interesting. Albany then is picking up quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think it's not just Albany. I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of our urban. Troy is another good example. We're seeing an uptick in buyers over 50 looking to move back into urban centers. And that trend I don't think is unique in the capital region. I think a lot of people have talked about it countrywide.
That number here is 800-348-2551. It is Real Estate Today. It is Renata Lewis, and it is Alexander Monticello. And if you would like to call, 800-348-2551.
Woohoo!
800-348-2551. Eric in Northampton. Eric, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for doing the show. I have maybe a relatively unusual situation. I own 50 acres out here in Western Mass in the Northampton area. And it's developable. It can be three residential lots. It's got quite spectacular views. So it's kind of a unique property. And what I'd really like to do is kind of put it out on the market at a relatively high price and see who comes along. And I don't mind if it's out there for a prolonged period of time, you know, years. But not surprisingly, that pitch hasn't been too interesting to many real estate brokers. So I'm wondering if you have any advice for that kind of a situation where you want to sell something. It's fairly unique. There's a small set of potential buyers, and you're not in a hurry. Should I be putting up a website, a Facebook page? Should I have it on MLS? Should I find a broker who's willing to work on that?
Gee, well, you're talking to two brokers, so I wonder what the answer is going to be. But let's find out.
Well, I think the conversation needs to start at, as long as we're both on the same page, that maybe the motivation isn't really strong. However, if we find a particular buyer, the conversation will be open. For me, the expectation is really important. Hey, if we're really overpriced, you know, are we overpriced to a point where we're not going to find the right buyer? So just really looking at the competition and looking to see what's sold, where are we and how far overpriced are we? I particularly will not work with somebody that wants to overprice the property or house more than 20%, because it's just going to sit on the market too long. It's going to get stale. Yeah, you know, I always tell everybody, list homes to sell them, not to list them. But again, how you said you subdivided it, so all of that is a buildable. Both all the lots are buildable lots.
Yeah, there's three buildable lots. The underground electric has been put in, septics and wells have not. It's up at elevation, 1,300 feet, with, you know, remarkable views. So there's no real comps. That's the challenge. And I wouldn't mind hanging on to it, you know, but if somebody comes along and waves enough money around and they want to make it their dream, then I would certainly be interested. So I guess
the question is, you know, if you were the buyer and you were looking at that land, what would you be willing to pay for it? I think there is an unrealistic expectation here, and I wouldn't personally want to take something on that I couldn't deliver. So different professionals will have different aspects and how they would want to position this on the market. Listen, good luck to you. I just want you to be realistic in what this price is worth, and don't wait too long, because if we do go into a declining market, that vacant land is going to be worth a lot less.
For a time.
Well, it's the market shifts every 10 years. We've been in a really high market for, I would say, 4 years now?
I think the market's, for the last 8 years, every year has been better than...
Okay, right, so this is like going to the mattresses. Every 10 years, it's got to happen.
There's a shift. I would say there's a shift every 10 years that we're seeing something. And we're positioning, I think the market is getting to a point where we're going to see some type of a softening, and the new construction and vacant land is what gets hit the hardest.
Okay, assuming that happens for our caller and he waits too long, and it's gold though, isn't undeveloped land in the long run like a bond that is going to pay off at some point down the road? You just have to wait a while. I mean, you have untouched land that has underground electric. And soon to be whatever sewage, you know. What's so funny over there?
Well, no, I agree a lot with what Renata said, and I think another statistic that you can use is the National Association of Realtors compiles data, and what they find is that if you go 10% above market value, you narrow your buyer pool in half. So for every 10% you go above market value, you've narrowed your buyer pool in
half.
But
he said there are no comps.
Well, so valid point. So what is the market? The big question always is, well, what is fair market value? You never know until you test the market. I think for our caller, he could try to list it by owner. If he's going to do that, he probably should put it in the MLS. He should get a really good photographer and a really good drone videographer if he's got this land. And create a good video and a website, and maybe he can prove the realtor's wrong. I guess you don't know until you try.
Proving Renata wrong. It's
Renata. I mean, yeah. Renata hasn't seen the land.
Well, and just to add to what Alex is saying, full disclosure: how big are the lots? What kind of a buildable space we're working with? Potential uses, all of that is really important. Surveys. This is what a buyer is going
to
be looking
for.
Would
it be good for him to put septic in and the wells and everything and have that ready to go before he lists?
Well, for the septic, I think the perk test would be important if you're not going to put in a full septic, because that's going to give somebody an idea whether it's going to be a raised bed or if it's going to be a regular standard septic, which is a big difference in price. Well is a hard one. If they need to drill 10 times, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is if you talk to 10 realtors and not a single realtor or broker is willing to take it,
there's your answer.
You know, maybe you do need to adjust your expectations.
Now, this is interesting, and we're going to take a break here in a minute. The number is 800-348-2551. Renata says she's working with somebody who is insistent on listing a house 20% or higher above market, you will walk away. Can't you talk them out of that?
Well, so, I mean, walking away is a very strong language.
Well, that's what you'll do. You're not going to hang around.
It's true. It's so, just put it in perspective, I'm not going to promise something I can't deliver. So as a professional, we really study the market. We study what's going to take to position the house to sell at the most value in the shortest amount of time. And if we're going out of that element too far, the solution or the resolution is going to be not being able to sell that home, and a bad business relationship could come out of it, and my reputation also is also on the line. So I'm going to tell you as a professional where I feel the range is, and together we will try to work on that. However, if we're too far apart, maybe I'm not the right fit for you.
Right, and so at that point you say, you know what, give my friend Alex a call, and he'll take care of it. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Real Estate, we'll be back. Fox Pop on WAMC, the final program before Thanksgiving. And we're thankful we have Alexander Botticello and Renata Lewis here to talk real estate. And the number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 if you have a question. And let's go to Shane in Clifton Park. Hello, Shane.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Great.
So my question is... Last year, November, we're in Clifton Park. We bought a townhome. It was appraised at like 170. Fortunately, November 1st, when we bought it, the rates were at the highest they were at. They were up to 5%. And we've just started the process of doing a refi. So my question is, we've put $30,000 into the place since it was appraised back then. And, you know, you see those shows on TV where you put in 30 and all of a sudden the house is worth 60 more. I'm just kind of curious what a rate of return is expected in this area. I mean, we added central air. We put in a new furnace. We ripped out the carpets and put in pergo floors. We got all new windows, new slider. I mean, we spent a bunch of money. And I'm just curious, you know, is there a general rule of thumb of what you would expect to get back on that much investment?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think you're going to like my answer, but unfortunately, generally, you don't get everything you put in back immediately. So I think if the townhouse appraises for 200 now, or maybe a little bit more, I think that's a good position for you to be in right now.
You think I should at least get back the 30 that we've put into it then?
Well, if you're able to get that back, I think you're in a good position because you don't always get 100% back of what you put in.
I guess, okay. You need to look to see what the highest sale in that townhome community is and compare yourselves to that. And if it is $30,000 more, then you might be able to get that full return on the investment. However, if the highest price is $220,000, guess what? That's where the market value is for that area.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've seen other townhomes, you know, ones that are the nicer ones up $195,000.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen them break two.
Well, so my recommendation is use a local bank because they're going to know the market better,
yep.
And maybe even use the bank that you bank with.
With a credit union this time. So
yeah, their credit unions are great, and then you they're going to ask you on the application what you think it's worth.
I heard you guys on the radio and I said, let me call and ask what I can expect for, you know, a return on our 30,000 we put in.
So my suggestion is if you think it's worth 210 or 220 on the application, just put it down if that's a truthful statement, and then you'll see what they come back with.
Do you have a call? Is an appraiser going to come in and look at your property?
It's going to be done.
I highly suggest when the appraiser shows up, make a list of everything that you've done and even put prices on those and don't inflate them. Give them the right prices. Just present them with that information. So if they do need to push the market a little bit, they'll have a little bit leverage in doing so based on what you're telling them that you've improved.
All right. Good luck. Alex?
No, one other thought. You could, you know, I'd call your real estate agent who helps you purchase that and say, hey, I'm about to refi. Could you send me 3 or 4 of the high price sales in the neighborhood? And you can hand that to the appraiser when the appraiser comes.
I mean, townhomes, if they're in the same group of homes, they're all going to be about the same, right?
Well, condition is a big factor in the townhome community. Condos, townhomes, you're going to have a range. So say there's a range between 170 and 220. The 220 is going to be the one that's completely redone. So condition plays a really huge, it's a big indicator in how we're going to be pricing that property. There's going to be townhouses that are going to need everything and they're going to be in the low range. And there's usually 2 or 3 different styles or models in a townhome community.
Okay.
Whether it's a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, does it have a loft? Does it have a garage or no garage? So it really depends on the community and what it's going for.
Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. And now we go over to Pete in Rosendale near Kingston.
Hi. I'm just curious. We're considering putting an apartment over our garage. Does that generally increase the value or does it turn off buyers?
Well, first, I think you're going to need to get in touch with the town to see if that's allowed, because it's...
We've explored that a little bit.
Why wouldn't it be allowed?
Well, I mean, different communities may not allow the rental situation. They'll allow an in-law. They'll say, okay, you could do an in-law, which means you could have a relative stay there. However, if you're going to start renting it to strangers, it could be a no-no for the neighborhood.
Right.
But as far as value, again, is it going to be zoned as a legal 2-family now? Is it going to be an in-law? You know, what are you doing to it? Is it a 1-bedroom, a 2-bedroom? Does it have a really nice bathroom? Does it have garage space? What kind of community are we in? So as long as, again, I think I would ask a realtor to come in and evaluate for you just to see if there is similar properties out there and what you could expect as far as value.
Okay, but in terms of people who are looking to buy, that's not something that turns a lot of people off if it's legal and all the things that you said?
Well, it's got to be legal.
Right.
And then you're looking for that particular buyer that's looking for that type of a scenario.
But it would change the tax situation, right? If it was legally zoned as a two-family.
Yeah,
two-family.
What are you going to say, Alex?
Ray raises a good point. It will increase your taxes. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this just to try to increase value, or are you going to use the apartment?
Well, to increase value, but also to help with the mortgage payment as well.
Okay. And how long do you anticipate using it for?
Well, we figure we'll stay here for at least another 7 years.
Okay. Yeah, I would say if you're going to get 7 years of use out of it and it's legal, I think over time it probably will add some value. You know, generally with Airbnb now, where people are renting out, you know, apartments in their house or apartments in the back of their house, I think that could be a net positive for your for your property.
Just word of caution: the regulations for the rental. For the rentals have they're more strict, meaning
are these state regulations or are they municipal?
Yeah, so as a landlord, they're becoming very specific on, you know, who you can rent to. Fair housing is a really big one. You know, first month's security deposits, pet deposits are becoming a no-no. So just do a little bit of research on that end just to make sure that you're comfortable being a landlord and just staying legally ethical in how you're going to be presenting that.
But as far as making the expansion or expanding over the garage, 7 years is a good amount of time. You always, Renata, we've talked about this a lot of times on the show, and Alex too, that when you're sinking some serious money in, if you're going to enjoy it for a few years, it makes more sense than if you're going to try to turn it around and immediately recoup what you got out of it.
Yeah, correct. It's a matter of any big investment that you're putting into a property, make sure that you're there for enough years, A, to enjoy it, B, that you're going to recoup and the value is actually going to creep up there.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Boy, they're having fun. Realtors are fun people. Diane in Middle Grove. Diane, you're on.
What's in my coffee?
I don't know.
Hi. My husband and I built our house 15 years ago in Middle Grove, and we put it on the market about 3 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, with Keller Williams. And we have it priced, but it automatically got picked up by Zillow. And Zillow has very incorrect information. I know that's common, but they have that my house was sold about 3 years ago. They have the name of the person that bought it and how much they paid for it. No one bought our house. We've been here 15 years. I can't get in touch with Zillow. My realtor has tried everything to get in touch with Zillow. So it's hurting me because the price that it was sold for, according to Zillow, is way lower than the price I'm asking.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
Do you have any suggestions on how to reach Zillow?
Is this common, by the way, professionals?
It is common. So Zillow, I would say most realtors have a love-hate relationship with Zillow. It is difficult to turn the information around or change it. I would encourage a realtor to continue to try to get a hold of somebody at Zillow. There are certain representatives. If you're a premier agent with Zillow, you can get a hold of them. I'm sure somebody in the office is a premier agent. Just get a hold of a manager or somebody to help you. Did you refinance the house at all? Because sometimes that sale will show.
No, absolutely not. Okay. Did not refinance it.
So it may be just picking up a similar address for a different county or a different area, and it's just incorrect.
And it's hurting me, I think. I don't know. But.
Well, listen, there's a lot of different sources that we use to market your home, and Zillow is just one of them. So just make sure that everything else is correct on the other platforms, and I don't think it's going to be hurting you that much. But it is frustrating, and do continue to try to get a hold of Zillow.
So there should be somebody in the office who has a direct contact to Zillow. There's an email address. If you go to listingsupport@zillow.com, and I would have your realtor send that. They should be able to resolve this because Zillow can make these adjustments on the back end. It's just talking to the right people.
Right. Diane, good luck. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Real Estate Today with Alex Monticello and Renata Lewis and Jessica in Albany. Jessica.
Hi. I'm calling because my parents are moving up from New Jersey and going to be moving to the Capital District in their retirement. And I'm wondering if you guys have any suggestions on good towns for retirees, what should retirees look for, and any other advice you would give to someone who's looking to downsize and move to this area.
They don't want to move to Florida.
No, they want to move to their grandbaby.
Okay, all right.
Well, Jessica, I think I think the conversation starts with what quality of life do your parents value, and what's important to them in the communities that they live in. What I've seen working with a couple of my friend's parents who are moving to the area, they want to be close to their grandbabies. So how long is it going to take them to get there? Sometimes they want to know how far from the grocery store, the hospitals, are they, depending on their needs. Do they want privacy? So do they want a secluded home on a couple acres that may require more maintenance? Or do they want to be in a city with a sidewalk on a smaller parcel, but a more walkable neighborhood? And then finally, I mean, the type and style of the home. Some folks over 50 are really set on purchasing a ranch. They want to be able to age comfortably in place. Other people have told me, you know what, I'm going to be walking up the stairs till I'm 90. So I'll take a 3 or 4 bedroom colonial with stairs. I'm less concerned about a single story living. But I think location, lot, and then the style of the home are probably the biggest factors.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they're looking for little maintenance, single, ranch-style homes. We're right in Albany, so we were looking in the, Colony, even I heard you say Del Mar, Bethlehem area at one point on the call. So just trying to find what would fit for their lifestyle.
Yeah, they may want to check out some townhome communities where they offer, tennis and pool and different recreational activities. But again, it really depends on what their needs look like and how far away or how close they want to be to you.
Okay, Jessica, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. And we go to Frank in Schuylerville. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
You're on.
I have a question about how real estate fees might be determined. I mean, how would you develop a contract with a realtor? And then the other part of my question is that how are the fees split? I don't understand this buyer's real estate agent, seller's real estate agent, and how everything gets divided up and they realize some income from it.
Well, so when you meet with a realtor, you're going to be signing a listing agreement, and on the listing agreement, there's going to be a fee, whatever that fee may be. Just for instance, say the fee is 8%, and you're going to, part of the listing fee will go towards the buyer agency. So when you list with an agent, they're going to be representing your best interest, and they're going to be the listing agent. They're going to be working for the seller. Many of the buyers are now signed on with a buyer agreement, and they're exclusively working with one agent who is their buyer agent. So when a buyer agent comes and shows the property that's listed and they do offer a contract, and when you end up working with those buyers, you will, as a part of the listing fee, that the listing agent will be offering a collaborative broker buyer's agent fee to that buyer. Sorry, I can't spit it out. So basically, one fee on the listing agreement, and part of that fee goes to the buyer agency. And the reason you have two agencies is both agents are working exclusively, one for the agent, for the buyer, one for the seller. I spit it out.
Yeah, no.
So are those determined by the contract that an individual person has with the realtor, or is it determined by the division between the buyer's realtor and the seller's realtor, or is it determined by some sort of convention?
So the listing agent is going to set the commission that they're going to charge the seller, And so that will be disclosed in the listing agreement that you sign with the listing agent. And then also in that agreement will be the amount of that commission that they're going to share with any cooperating buyer's agent. And then that will go into the MLS and be advertised with the property so that every buyer's agent who has a buyer who's looking to show your property will know what their potential compensation is going to be. Generally in this market, the buyer's agent gets 2.5% of the listing agent's commission.
Ah. And if it's too low,
or
the buyer...
2.5% of the entire commission.
Correct.
2.5% of the selling price.
Correct.
Because 2.5% of a commission wouldn't be very much money.
Right you are, Frank.
Right.
Good point.
Yep, yep.
But if the buyer's share is too low, then will that agent say, well, let's skip this one?
They're not supposed to, Ray. But yeah, I think that would be a concern I would have is, I think if you try to offer less, there's always the risk that the buyer's agent will say, well, this house is a better house because
right.
it's got a gray roof.
No, I understand. Is 8% sort of the standard for a...
No, I was just throwing a number out there. So, I mean, in New York State, the commissions are not standardized, so we have to be careful on how we present the commission.
So if I said, you know what, Renata, I think you're fantastic. I'll give you 24%.
I can take 24%.
So there's nothing that says you can't.
There's no standard. And I'm also sitting with an agent that's...
But if Renata and I started talking about what the commissions would be, we could be
in trouble.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes. Antitrust laws, yeah.
Yes.
All right. So we won't do that then?
No.
All right, let's take a break. All right. 800-348-2551. We were just getting interesting. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis is here. Alex Monticello is here. It's Real Estate Today. Three or four here, emails, and then we'll go back to the phones. This one is from Megan in Boston Spa. Hey, thanks for doing the show. Well, you're welcome, Megan/Megan. My husband and I want to buy at least 3 acres in a remote location in upstate New York, not for development or as a residential property, but for recreation. Hoping to spend between $20,000 and $40,000, and we would need to finance most of it. What's the best way to look for vacant land parcels? What are the financial considerations with vacant land purchases? And that's from Megan/Megan.
Well, I was just thinking we had that guy in Northampton or North
Put them
Adams.
Together.
Yeah. Right. But not in upstate New York. One thing, I think it's really hard to get financing on vacant land. So typically...
Why?
Because the banks don't want to lend on it. They've got a lot less collateral to take back. So that's the one challenge with purchasing vacant land. It oftentimes it's hard to get financing. So you might be looking to, if you have equity in your home, you might want to take out a home equity line of credit and then use that.
I love that, though. You buy a property. You're not looking to build anything. Just you put up the tetherball or the volleyball set and croquet or whatever.
There's a lot of that going on, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of downstate folks that come in here and they purchase 130 acres and they go shooting or four-wheeling, and that's what they like to do.
That's how the other half lives. My wife and I are saving money to build a 900-square-foot house, says somebody somewhere. We don't want a mortgage, so we will save the money first. I just don't know how much to save, though. Our first house was 1,700 square feet, and our mortgage was around $240,000. Do I need to get plans drawn up first, then figure it out from there? I can't imagine that a 900-square-foot house would cost more than half of the 1,700-square-foot house we built. Location, location, location.
Anyway, that's, well, I'll say this, just general rule of thumb, at least in our market, if you're building brand new construction, mm-hmm. It could be $200 a square foot, and then you'd have to add in the cost of the land, and then, well and septic if you need to put that in, and then running power. So I think it could easily be $200,000 plus the cost of the land to build.
Agree.
All right. This one is from JVBP. We retired a decade and a half ago and are tired of doing yard work and shoveling snow. I'm with you there. Is there a reference document or, better yet, an internet site where we can answer a series of fairly specific questions and have the computer spit out a ranked series of best fits? I love that. It's the Alex and Renata bypass system.
Isn't there an Angie's List?
I don't know.
Nextdoor app. I mean, it's just a matter
of... All right. Alex is pleading ignorance on this. All right. Well, we don't have an answer for you, JVBP. But
maybe she's got a business opportunity there to create an app.
There you go. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. And you sure you don't want to get into that antitrust thing again? Compare... no? All right.
Trying to get us fired or fined?
Jim in Schenectady. Jim, you're on.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I sold my mother's house this past spring down in New Jersey, and she had kind of kicked the can down the road with the septic tank. It's in the part of northern New Jersey that doesn't have municipal sewers. Well, come to find out, and the reason I'm asking this is because, you know, I'm wondering if this is hidden in our area too. They changed all the septic rules in the state of New Jersey in 2012 and disallowed traditional tanks unless your lot was big enough. So I confirmed this independently with several people, and she had to go with what's called a best available technology septic tank, which is like a triple septic system that actually runs on electricity with an aerator, and it costs $28,000.
Wow.
For, you know, a house was maybe like, you know, 1,700 square feet plus a $4,000 engineering study because everything had to be done by a designed by a professional engineer.
Mm.
I come to find out, I'm hearing and down there that almost every house in this part of Jersey, at Sussex County, that goes up for sale is like a 2 out of 3 failure rate on the septic tank at the time of the analysis of the tank, for which I hired an independent company, so there wasn't any kind of, like, you know, the words out of there all the time, collusion, you know, like, oh, here, I got a guy over here. So I made sure that the company that I hired wasn't working with some contractor. And this guy told me that he had just finished a job that almost nailed $50,000.
Eesh.
Because they had to blast rock. And mm-hmm. I mean, are we looking at possibly changing the laws up here where a septic tank of yesteryear would not be permitted on the same piece of property because, you know, they're getting more environmentally conscious, because that's what's driving it down there. Any thoughts on that, or are we just not densely enough populated up here that we really got to worry about this stuff?
I don't think it's coming to that yet. However, we do have some homes that have a very old traditional septic, whether it's not within 100 feet of the well or it's just too close to a property next door to it, that have been grandfathered in. However, when you have to put a new septic in, the new zones and the new codes kick in, and it does become an issue. So I haven't heard of the septic tank that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called a BAT, Best Available Technology.
Interesting.
And I had to get several permits. I had to have an electrical permit because it has to be, you know, power ran to it. And it was just like, I'm, you know, writing checks out of my
yeah.
Yeah. But no tank, no house. I mean, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. Yeah. But I just, you know, because I might be in the market sometime up here, and I'm hoping that doesn't hit here. But if you know anybody that's selling real estate in North Jersey, it is creating nightmares.
Wow.
I mean, I got 3 bids. 2 companies said we can't even get you till spring of 2019, and I got the bids in September of 2018.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, next time we do a plumbing show, why don't you call the guy and complain about that? He'll have some stuff for you. Jim, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Oh, it's Stephen in Cheshire, Mass. Stephen, you're on.
Yes, I'm calling. I just need a little bit of information. Hopefully I can get it. I'm retired from the military at 60. I'm 63 now. Mm-hmm. And we built a new house. I moved in with when I retired. And everything's all paid for. I'm looking for, want to go on, you know, some vacations to get out of here and the winter time and stuff. I really don't want to own another house because I don't want to go through the hassle of you know, worrying about things and going down and fixing them and, you know, some problems. And so should I think about a condo or should I just rent places or how should I go about doing that?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's worth talking to a realtor to see what the available options are as far as communities that you could either rent or purchase a low maintenance condo where you pay a monthly maintenance fee and don't have to worry about snow and lawn. And some of the condo associations also include exterior maintenance like roof as well. So yeah, I think that's common. There's a lot of folks now. We actually worked with a client who sold his house and bought an RV and basically traveled the country in his RV.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So, but there's upkeep with that too.
Yeah. Well, you got to put gas in it. You got to maintain it. But
the upkeep is one thing, but
you don't have to worry about it when you're away.
Right. And the question, too, is do you want to continue to go to the same place? Do you have a favorite place that you want to go to and be committed to that place? Or do you want to check out different sites? Because that will...
Different sites would be more my what I want to do and what the wife wants to do, you know. And I think I just bought another new car, and it's Cadillac.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right, buddy. Yeah,
so
yes.
I think the rental option is probably your best choice. That way you could drive that caddy all over the
place.
Or
that RV.
I would just live in the caddy, personally. But
I haven't been in a caddy in a long time.
I don't want to mess with an RV because an RV breaks down.
I hear you, man.
Who's going to pay for it to get picked up?
I get you. Yeah. Hey, sounds like rental is the way to go if you want to move around in that caddy. Hey,
okay.
Stephen, thanks for the call. I remember my caddies. Oh, I miss them so much. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go on over to line two and Lisa in Gilderland. Lisa. Hello.
Hi there. Hi. My apologies. I'm driving. So hopefully I'm not too loud or too quiet.
You're fine.
I am a real estate. I'm a real estate professional and also a realtor. I just wanted to make a comment. Because it's a common misconception, most of the real estate agents are independent contractors and work under a brokerage, unless obviously Alex owns his own company. But when there is commission that is coming across the table at the closing table, that is split between the brokerage and the agent. So we get this misconception that the agent is reaping all the rewards of the sale, and I think that should be clarified. And that's really
okay.
All I have to say.
True, right?
Thank you.
It's true, yes.
And yet you both seem to be doing okay. So, you know, that's all right. Our number is 800-348-2551. Lena in Middletown, you're up.
Well, hi there. My husband and I are looking to purchase a home to die in, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those.
In Cobleskill area. And we're having a lot of trouble finding a piece of property that is appropriate for us. We are looking for a one-level situation, or at least one bedroom and one bath and laundry on the first floor. We've had little success, and part of our problem is that we're 2 hours to 2.5 hours from Cobleskill presently. So I'm wondering if there's any better way to do this long distance. We keep having things bid out from underneath of us. And also if it is ethical or acceptable, or if there's any kind of benefit to working with more than one realtor.
Ah, good question.
So are you...
I don't really want to abandon my realtor. I like him very much, but I just want to know if there's a benefit or if it's a no-no.
I would say it's a benefit as long as that agent is recognizing exactly what you're looking for. And I think the conversation needs to be that because we're 2 hours away, as soon as something hits the market, maybe you should preview it for us. I mean, I've sold houses sight unseen. Throw you on on FaceTime or just video, this is what I'm looking at, and at least give you the opportunity to put an offer in as you're heading down if it does go into a multiple offer situation.
Oh, thank you. That's really good advice.
Yeah, a lot of trust there because they really need to know what you're looking at. It seems that you've seen a lot of properties. At that point, as your broker, your agent, would know exactly what you're looking for and at least give you the opportunity to throw something on the table and keep you competitive with the others. You could always see the property, hopefully, once you're in an offer situation.
If not, at least
you still have the attorney approval to go check it out. But
that's an
huge.
Excellent idea. I'd never really thought of, you know, video or FaceTime. My husband's territory, he's in sales, is actually the Capital Region. all the way into Vermont and parts of New Hampshire. Yep. However, we have needs to stay in New York State for my daughter's scholarship.
Yep.
So we want to move upstate and also a retirement home, but we keep looking at properties, and then, you know, before we even leave, someone made an offer.
Yeah, yes. I think that would be the best. I don't know, Alex, do you have any other suggestions?
No, FaceTime is really incredible technology and can work if you're working with an agent who knows what you need.
Okay, but
want.
Wait, hang on just a sec. Lena, thanks for the call. All right, so Alex is working for me, and we're on FaceTime, and we buy it sight unseen. How do I know that the roof joints don't have termites and the plumbing is about to fall out? You can't see that in a FaceTime.
Good news, right? We got a home inspection clause in the purchase contract. So you typically aren't going to inspect the roof rafters when you're going with your real estate agent on the first time anyways. I mean, but the home inspector is really the insurance policy to get deep into the house.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's jump back to the lines here. And Marcus in Fonda. Marcus.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I wanted to find out if it's good or bad for my home to have solar panels put up on the property. I have about 100 acres, and it would be unseen, so nobody would be able to see it. And for what they pay you for it per year, per month, or however, would that be better to if I wanted down the road to sell my house?
Are you, two questions. Are you looking to lease them or buy them, the solar panels?
Lease.
Okay, and are you looking to put them on the roof or off the roof?
No, I mean like a solar panel farm, like they take like 30 acres.
Yep. You know, I think, they're going to use 30 acres of solar panels?
That's a lot of panels.
Yeah. They mapped it out and they colored in the area that they wanted to use, the most usable area for the sun, I'm next to a power grid, so I guess...
Can you subdivide the property so that you could cut off the 30 acres and have that as its own standalone solar farm and then keep the 70 acres with the house?
They could either purchase it or lease it. I just didn't know which way to go because I think it's more money if you lease it down the road. Then you could transfer that over to a new buyer.
Yeah, so my only point in this is I think it might be okay to have a solar farm and lease it, but I think you would want that separated from the property that the house is on, because the ordinary home buyer may not want to purchase a 30-acre solar farm with that, and they might not be able to purchase. It might increase the value of the home so
and
much.
And it also puts a lien on your property, so you kind of want to...
I would separate the properties.
Absolutely.
All right, Marcus, thanks a lot. I tell you what, if I had that kind of acreage, I would put a solar farm up and go off the grid completely.
You know what? He should call the other caller about some recreational land, too.
And also plant some Christmas trees. I heard that they're running out of them.
Really?
Yes.
Well, who knew?
There you go.
All right. I guess we're about out of time here, so that's where we will have to leave it. Renata Lewis, how do people find you on the internet?
Just Google renatashomes.com, and you can find me everywhere.
Alex.
You can find us online at MonticelloNYS.com.
You guys have any big Thanksgiving plans?
I'm hosting at home. Can't wait.
Spending time with family.
Now, Renata, how many people?
Just about 10.
That's too many.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, they're going to bring stuff.
Just the immediate family. Everyone's bringing something. Mom is bringing Gołąbki's.
You don't even need
little Polish.
If you have Gołąbki's, you don't even need a turkey, really.
No, we kind of don't.
Well, that's great. Well, both of you, happy Thanksgiving, and we really appreciate you both being here with us this year. I assume that's it for the year, right?
We'll come back at any time, right?
I have no idea. I don't even know what's on next week, but I'm sure we'll see you soon. Support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing the greater capital region with custom store fixtures, interactive exhibits, and specialty displays for trade shows, museums, and special event production, empireexhibits.com. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 50 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the capital region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. And Catskill Mountain Foundation, presenting Homage to Bach, performed by the Knights Chamber Orchestra, November 30th at 8 at the Doctorow Center for the Performing Arts, Hunter, New York, catskillmtn.org. Once again, thanks to Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello for being here today. Thank you for listening. Now remember, No Vox Pop tomorrow, none on Friday. Have a safe, happy Thanksgiving. Do not drink and drive. That is my order to you. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, and Ed Rosen took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff, and we will see you next week.